A long time ago, Jack Benny once had a skit on his radio program where a mugger comes up to him with a gun and says to him, "Your money or your life?" There was a long, awkward pause. Mugger repeats, "Look, bud, I said, your money or your life?" Benny says, "I'm thinking it over." The joke is the man's indecision. Of course, no one would choose the money. Jesus said once, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul?" Most of us would like to have both, money and our life, the world and our soul. But you cannot serve two masters. And what happens when you are forced to choose? Are you aware of who you really serve? Or if suddenly you find yourself in a crisis, are you going to need a long, awkward pause to scratch your head and really work out what's most important? Your money or your life? The world or your soul? Jesus tells a story about a manager who was wasteful with his master's possessions. And when his master hears about it, he fires him. Soon to be jobless, he considers what he, a man fired for incompetence, will likely end up doing for a living. He figures he's destined for heavy labor or for begging, and he considers himself unfit for these things. So he devises a plan, and he makes a decision. Still having his master's ledger, he goes to his clients, cancels a portion of their debt. He does so without the master's permission, of course. And he does so for two reasons. First, so he can put his master into a bind. What's he going to do? Uncancel the debt? And secondly, he does so to make friends who might hire him later. By forgiving their debt, albeit with his former master's money, he gains their friendship, while at the same time ensuring the master cannot take action against him without appearing stingy, uncharitable, harming his business and harming his reputation. Now, like Jack Benny in the fictional skit, the man is in a crisis. But unlike Benny, it doesn't take the manager too long to come to a decision. He may have worked for the rich man once, but that was only while the rich man helped him serve his true master, money, which figures as worldly security and comfort. Once the rich man fired him, he found a new way to use the rich man to serve his true master, by fraudulently using his money to make friends in the world. Now, the hard bit to swallow here is that Jesus commends the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. And he says that such shrewdness is what's lacking in his own disciples. The serpent in the garden was called shrewd. That's not a good comparison. And yet Jesus says to his disciples, "Be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." So there is, in fact, a type of shrewdness that is not dishonest or malicious or self-serving, but is a virtue for Christians in this life. Because we usually associate shrewdness with dishonesty or with trickery. But that's not it at all. The shrewd person is the one who's capable of making decisions resolutely that will achieve their long-term goals. They are prudent, pragmatic, efficient, decisive. And none of these qualities inherently requires dishonesty. A shrewd person knows what they want, knows how to get it. Their loyalties are not mixed at all. They do not try to serve multiple masters. They know who their master is and how best to serve him and how quickly to cast aside anything that would hinder that service. Your money or your life? My life, no contest. A prudent person doesn't put his hand to the plow and look back, but has no regrets in casting aside anything in order to protect and preserve the most important thing. So it was that St. Paul famously said to the church in Philippi, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish," literally dung, "in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him." Paul was a famous Jew of high repute, a Benjamite who was raised in the traditions of his fathers. Then Christ came to him and said that he must leave his accomplishments, honor, and prestige of the Pharisees behind to follow him, his true Lord of the true God. And Paul shed not a tear. He didn't sulk over having lost the former ambition of his life. Once he realized that his zeal in persecuting Christians was not, in fact, in service to the Lord, but against him, he switched sides immediately, revealing that he wasn't a hypocrite who served God for the glory of men, but an honest, prudent man who served men for the glory of God. Now, someone might say, and some have said, that this is a very fine teaching because my husband or wife is getting in the way of me worshiping God. I should just cut them out of my life so I can devote myself to God better. Some women might say, I want to serve God with my life, but to do that, I have to finish my degree. And I'm pregnant, and a baby will just get in the way of that. I'd better just get an abortion. But it's okay, because I'm doing it for God, to serve him. And someone might say, I look like a man, but I feel like a woman. And until I can dress and act like one, I'll only resent God for the way he made me. If I can just change my gender identity, I'll be happier, more true to myself, be able to love people and serve God better. Is that how it works? By no means. Lip service to God is not service to God. Abandoning your family, killing your child, denying the gender God gave you are all sins. And sin is never done in service to God, nor does it expedite your salvation. The law of God tells you what pleases him. His word reveals his heart. And God hates divorce. God will avenge the innocent. God abhors sexual immorality and perversion. And those who do these things will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So, like the shrewd manager, you shrewd Christians also have one master, Jesus Christ. He bought your soul. He redeemed it. He owns it. and you belong to him. And also, like the shrewd manager, you have one goal: to live your life without losing your soul. And your life will be better or worse based on your ability to keep that goal clear in your mind and weigh all your decisions with reference to it. You have one master, Jesus Christ. You have one goal: live your life without losing your soul. And Jesus teaches today one means to do this: use your worldly possessions in service of your master. Jesus says, "Make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings." Now, what does he mean by this? Well, these words Jesus says right before telling the story of Lazarus and the rich man. In that account, the rich man uses his unrighteous wealth to make friends with the world. And when the rich man died, Lazarus was in heaven, but Lazarus did not receive the rich man there. God is preparing you for a weight of glory beyond all comparison. That is your goal. That is your prize. That is what you live for, and that is what you would die for. And if you would be shrewd, you need not panic in any crisis that the world can dish up. The world can take your family, your money and possessions, even your good name, but they cannot take from you your share in the eternal life bought and paid for by your Lord and your Master, Jesus Christ. Now, many Christians will end up selling this birthright for what amounts to a mess of porridge. Others will retain it, but like Jack Benny, will mull over the decision with great regret and hesitation all the days of their lives, making an already difficult life harder than it has to be. Your money or your life really is an easy decision. The Lord Jesus is your life. You are not strong enough to save yourself, and you're too proud to play political games in the world. So cast all your anxieties on Christ. Live humbly in his service. Walk by faith, not by sight. Fear God, not men. When once asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus replied, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love covers a multitude of sins. Love keeps no record of wrongs. You have one master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would have you owe no one anything except this: to love one another. The one who loves another has fulfilled the law of the Master. The Master who says, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." He requires your undivided attention, even as he has given you his undeserved love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes human understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.